The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Welcome. Welcome to St. Stephen's on this, the fourth Sunday of Advent. The Sunday we recognize the light of love. Today, we light the candles. We light the candle of hope, the candle of peace, the candle of joy, and also we light this candle as a sign of the coming light of Christ. Advent means coming. We are preparing for the full coming of God's kingdom. The Lord will give you a sign. Look, the young woman is with child and shall bear a son, and shall name him Emmanuel, God with us. Please join me in today's call to worship. We are waiting on you, God. We are still waiting. The darkness is deeper, but look, the star is beginning to shine. The everlasting light is creeping closer. Hope is in the air. Peace is promised. Joy is on the tips of our tongues. Love is coming. Love divine. All loves excelling. We are waiting on love, and love is waiting on us. Let's pray together. God, our Father, the one who comes in your name, comes again with grace and power, with forgiveness and strength, with truth and imagination, with gentleness and love. May the coming one enter the hearts of those who wait with quiet expectation for all that is good and holy and just. Amen. As we prepare our hearts and our lives to meet with the Christ child once more, let's say our prayer of confession together. Lord Christ, we confess our willingness to be loved, but also our reluctance to love. We confess our readiness to accept your forgiving love, but also our refusal to forgive. We confess our eagerness to grasp your offer of redeeming love, but also our resistance to follow you without question. In this Advent time, forgive us our failure to respond as we should. Come to us anew, and by your grace, assist us to receive you with joy as the shepherds, with gratitude as Simeon, with obedience as Mary, and with love as you have loved us. Even so come, Lord Jesus. Amen.
This is the good news. God comes to bring us the hope of healing, the peace of Christ, the joy of justice, and the love of our Savior into our hearts. We need wait no longer. We are forgiven. Thanks be to God.
Good morning, everyone. Our scripture is taken from the Gospel of Matthew, and I'm reading from the New Living Translation. Matthew chapter 1, verse 18 to 25. This is how Jesus the Messiah was born. His mother Mary was engaged to be married to Joseph, but before the marriage took place, while she was still a virgin, she became pregnant through the power of the Holy Spirit. Joseph, to whom she was engaged, was a righteous man and did not want to disgrace her publicly. So he decided to break the engagement quietly. As he considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream. "Joseph, son of David," the angel said, "do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife, for the child within her was conceived by the Holy Spirit. And she will have a son, and you are to name him Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins." All of this occurred to fulfill the Lord's message through his prophet. "Look, the virgin will conceive a child. She will give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God is with us." When Joseph woke up, he did as the angel of the Lord commanded and took Mary as his wife, but he did not have sexual relations with her until her son was born. And Joseph named him Jesus. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Our reading from Isaiah this morning starts in chapter 7 at verse 10 and goes to 16. "Again the Lord spoke to Ahaz, 'Ask the Lord your God for a sign, whether in the deepest depths or in the highest heights.' And Ahaz said, 'I will not ask. I will not put the Lord to the test.' Then Isaiah said, 'Hear now, you house of David, is it not enough to try the patience of humans? Will you try the patience of my God also? Therefore, the Lord himself will give you a sign. The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and will call him Emmanuel. He will be eating curds and honey when he knows enough to reject the wrong and choose the right. For before the boy knows enough to reject the wrong and choose the right, the land of the two kings you dread will be laid waste.'" May God bless to our understanding this reading from Scripture. If there were a children's time today, I would have talked to the kids about their names. What's in a name, and what does their name mean? Was it handed down to them from generations? Well, my full name is Jane Elizabeth May. I was supposed to be the last in the family, and so I was given two middle names named after both of my grandmothers, Elizabeth and May. The name Jane comes from my mother's side of the family. One of her aunts or great-aunts was named Jane. So I do know the history behind why I was named the way I was. I also know the meaning of my name. I did some looking, and I see that Diane's name means the divine, and it's one of the most loved baby names. Fiona means white or fair. Andy, manly, brave, and strong. Earl, warrior, nobleman. Mary, the Marys in our congregation, and the Virgin Mary is known as beloved. Joe, Jane, means grace. God is gracious. When Jesus was a little boy, the meaning of names was very important, and Jesus had many names, just like some of you might. All of Jesus' names referred to the presence of God alive among us right here, right now. Emmanuel means God with us. Jesus means God saves. Jesus had many names because Jesus was the action of God in the world. God told Joseph what name to call his child. Have you ever wondered what your name sounds like in God's voice? It always sounds like, "I love you." So if there had been a children's time today, that's what I would have shared. Because in our Isaiah scripture, Ahaz is asked by God, "Ask me for a sign." And he replies with, "I will not put my God to the test." And so through Isaiah, God gives him a sign anyway. The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and he shall be named Emmanuel, God with us. This scripture reminds us that God indeed is with us, even in this day and age where fear and wars run all over. We have no need to fear, for a small child has proven to us that God is with us and that God is faithful to his promises. We entered the season of Advent just 3 short weeks ago. We have lit the first 2 candles, hope and peace. We lit the pink candle, known as the Bethlehem candle or shepherd's candle, as a reminder of Mary and Joseph's trip to Bethlehem. And pink, because rose is the liturgical color of joy. Today, we lit our last purple candle, our candle of love. Did you or have you ever wondered why we start 4 weeks pretending that Jesus has not been born yet, when we know full well that he has? The advertisers and retailers all start pushing Christmas before Halloween, and they want us to believe that Christmas is already here, that by playing "It's the Most Wonderful Time on the Year" in their store speakers, that somehow the world will put its regularly scheduled programming on hold. We're encouraged to replace it with good cheer and peaceful tidings and remarkable joy. According to the media, the earth has its happiest time at Christmas. Yet, for most people, there is very little that makes this world merry or bright. The wars, the brokenness, the violence, the oppression, the destruction of our planet, heartache and grief, do not magically disappear on that first Sunday of Advent. So why do we prepare for something that has already happened? McGray de Vega, who wrote a 4-week Advent study called Awaiting the Already, writes that Advent is not a time of pretending that Jesus has never been born. It's a time of preparing for what the birth might mean to us today. He shared a story of his children and taking them to a water park, and he wanted to capture all of the moments, even those underwater. So he bought one of those little disposable underwater cameras and was very excited to take it in and get the pictures developed. It took him 2 weeks to find a place who would develop it, and then a further week after that before he got the pictures back. He had to wait, to relive that special moment. I have to agree with him when he says, maybe Advent is a lot like waiting for pictures to develop. Advent captures the extension between the past and the future and allows us to be amazed in the present, as if Jesus really was just being born. Advent is like a dark room, where slowly the picture comes into focus. Slowly the colors and the fullness of God's love is revealed in glorious technicolor. So here we are standing at the threshold of that last week of Advent. A threshold, a doorway where we can enter to be transformed and transfixed. In Joyce Rupp's book called Open the Door, she writes that the threshold contains the power of transformation. It's much like that little caterpillar who munches on the leaves and then forms a chrysalis and then changes into a beautiful butterfly. Advent has always been and always is a time for us to transform by slowing down and taking note of what needs to change in our lives to prepare ourselves for the coming again of Christ. But before we walk over that threshold, I want us to take a little peek at Joseph. Our Isaiah scripture foretells of a young woman who will give birth to a son and name him Emmanuel. The entire story wrapped up in one verse. We don't know much about Joseph, this gentle, quiet man who was betrothed to Mary. We know he was a carpenter and he passed his trade on to his son. This is the man whose care God entrusted with his son, a helpless baby, a vulnerable child. God entrusted him to be responsible of caring for Mary, who was heavily pregnant, was required to take Mary on that strenuous journey from Nazareth to Bethlehem, and had to assist Mary as she gave birth in a less than desirable place. It was Joseph who was given the responsibility to protect mother and child when Herod's murderous soldiers came to Bethlehem. And again, he risked his own life as he led mother and child on that perilous journey. It's a long way to Egypt and long way back to Nazareth after Herod's death. God trusted this man with one of the greatest responsibilities in the history of the world. Joseph, he's only mentioned a few times in the Bible, but he is the man that God trusted to adopt and care for his infant son. And Joseph means God will give. Joseph is a great example or symbol, if you will, of how we are called to service, called to love. Joseph could have ignored the angel. He could have dismissed it without a thought, but he didn't. He could have believed what the angel had said, but still divorced Mary quietly, but he didn't. He could have done countless other things, but he didn't. He allowed his love for God, his faith in God, to direct his steps. Love is at the center of our Christian identity. It is how Jesus said they would know who we are. It's at the center of who God is, for we know that God is love. If Christ is in you, you are centered with love. We often sing about it on Sunday mornings, how God is love, because the Bible tells us so. This Sunday of love is filled with the Spirit which had touched both Mary and Joseph as they ventured forth in marriage with that babe already on the way, knowing that they had both been blessed by God just to be chosen. And as Christians, we are chosen. We are chosen to gather through Advent to renew and refresh and listen and share and commune as people with God. We are waiting the already. Our faith is what brings us here, and our faith will carry us out these doors into the week. If we were to dissect Christianity and take off everything that doesn't look like love, we would see that Christianity is not about doctrines or sets of rules or creeds or protocols. The Christian faith is about absolute love. It's about the love of Jesus Christ, showing that Christ is in you and you are in Christ. Jesus shows us that love is always something you do. And this is what distinguishes love from sentimental feelings or those good intentions. Love, in the end, is an action. It's a verb. It's always something you do. But when we love our neighbors, and when we love God, how do we show that action? Not just articulate that that's what we mean, but visibly act out our love for God, for our neighbors. It stems, and the root of it is, how do we love ourselves? How do we love our inadequacies and our failures, our bumps and our lumps and our imperfections? Because if you can't love those things about yourself, How can you be expected to love those things about your neighbor? How can we then be expected to show or care our love for God? We are created in His image. We are holy. So in order for us to put our love into action, we need to take our first step into this week of love, to prepare, to await the already. Remembrance is an essential key to anticipating Jesus' arrival. When we partake in communion, when we share the body and blood of Christ, we do this in remembrance of Him. When we pass the peace of Christ with each other, we do this in remembrance of Him. When we share together the prayer that Jesus taught His disciples, we do this in remembrance of Him. The Christ child, sent by God through the Virgin Mary, protected by Joseph, a carpenter by trade, you know, these 4 weeks allow us to remember the trials and tribulations of Mary and Joseph as they had to get through that birth, their journey away from Herod, their journey then to the synagogue and accidentally leaving Jesus behind. It allows us to remember a nail, like the one hanging on our Christmas tree here in the sanctuary, a sign of His death and resurrection, and a symbol of why God sent His Son. It allows us to remember how His disciples were called and the days leading up to and following His death. It allows us to remember why we came in this door today, why we enter these walls, why you have gathered to watch this service. Barbara Taylor Brown writes, "Church is not a stopping place, but a starting place for discerning God's presence in this world. When we leave a service on a Sunday morning, we no more leave God behind than God leaves us. We simply carry what we've learned into that wide, wide world where there is a crying need for people who will recognize the holiness in things and hold them up to God in love." Jan Richardson sums up love: "Loving is always risky because we cannot enter into it without being changed, altered, transformed. Loving is never just about opening our heart. It's about being able and willing to have our heart become larger as we make room for people and stories and experiences we never imagined holding. This threshold we are standing on this week means we will enter risky territory. It will be like going through the security at the airport where you have to take off everything in case it beeps, your shoes, your watch, your keys, your coin in your pocket, all in a bin. So at the doorway of this week, you will need to leave your fears and failures, your frustrations, your worries, your confusions, your guilt, and your greed. When you stand at the threshold today, you stand with your genuine self, who you really are. And you can enter knowing that with the love of God in your heart, you will find the greatest riches in both giving and receiving. Each of us bring our strengths and our weaknesses, but we can all step out knowing that God will use our strengths and our weaknesses to expand our hearts and bless others with it. Both Mary and Joseph were greeted by angels saying, "Do not be afraid." And in verse 4, Just before our Isaiah scripture today, which started at verse 10, the Lord says to Isaiah, "Do not be afraid." And those words should resonate on our hearts as we step into the threshold, into this last week of Advent. Do not be afraid. God is love. Emmanuel, God is with us. It's all in the name. Amen.
Good morning. I'm proposing that we pray responsively this morning. So I will pray a portion and then pause, and I will say, "Lord, in your mercy," and you can reply, "Hear our prayer." Let's pray. Father God, we praise you. You are the creator of the universe and this home we call Earth. You've given us oceans and mountains, forests and flowers, birds, fish and mammals, sun and wind, and so much more. You are majestic. We are so blessed. Help us to be good stewards of these wonderful gifts and to not squander the resources we have in such abundance. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Thank you for our minister Diane and the staff of this church, who together enable so much to take place. Thank you for the volunteers, ministry teams, and boards of elders who work collectively as dedicated disciples to undertake the work you've called this church to carry out in your name. Thank you for the gift of music brought to us through the band and the choir, and especially for last Sunday's cantata. Wow. May we all continue to focus on the bedrock beliefs and values set by this congregation as we work to meet the mission of St. Stephen's. Please add your own thanks now. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Lord God, we pray for those who are sick, suffering, and alone. Bless those who are unable to celebrate your creation because of poor health, depression, anxiety, grief, poverty. Bless those who find Christmas a difficult and lonely time. Move us to become more aware of our surroundings and to respond generously to the suffering here in Oceanside. We pray that you will accompany those who seek to find shelter for your people living outside, food for those who are hungry, and comfort for those who are alone. Bless the work of the food banks everywhere. And we pray that the devastation of war in the Ukraine and elsewhere will end. And now, please name those people and places on your heart today. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We pray for the leaders everywhere and those in our community who have recently been elected to office. Give our leaders clear vision and cooperative spirits. Make them problem solvers. Guide them as you did Joseph to make responsible, kind-hearted, and honorable decisions, rather than to offer vindictive, angry, and short-sighted reactions. May they serve rather than expect to be served. Please add your own petitions. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We offer these prayers and our own petitions to you, Father, Holy Spirit, Jesus, the three in one. Together, let's now say the prayer Jesus taught his disciples. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
Your faithfulness in worship by tithing and sending in your offerings are hugely appreciated. Would you pray with me the prayer over the gifts this week? Gracious God, through your Son, Jesus Christ, you have shown us what it means to love, and you call us to follow your example to love our neighbors as we love ourselves. Continue to write your law of love on our hearts. Give us an unwavering passion for pursuing your kingdom until the hungry are fed, the oppressed set free, and every stranger finds a welcome. And may all of the gifts given this week of time, talent, and treasure be used to answer to this prayer. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Over the last few weeks, you were offered an opportunity to contribute to an outreach project by donating gift cards and cash to the Oceanside Resource Center that was formerly the Family Resource Center. A total has come in that has surpassed all expectations. You've done it again, St. Stephen's. Our heartfelt thanks for all your generosity in helping to to reach out in love to people who are having a hard time this Christmas. You raised a total of $3,250, including cash and gift cards. The Quality Foods gift cards were put in hampers for families this Christmas. We also heard that the Cantata, that was a musical production put on by the choir last Sunday with standing room only in this sanctuary, the entry was by way of donations to the food bank, either in food or by cash donations. Well, once again, your generosity is overwhelming. You came up with $1,345 in cash, plus a whole carload of non-perishable food that was delivered to the food bank this past Monday. Bless you for your generosity.
When you go from this place, be true. May the blessings of life find you. May the winds of the Spirit guide you across the oceans of all your days. And may the seeds of your life, your love, adorn the way. Go into this week of love, knowing that you are loved by Emmanuel. Go in peace. Amen.
Love be yours and love be mine. Love.